Well, Father, I look around and I thank you for all your saints who came out to sit at your table tonight to get fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit's already in this room. And I thank you, Father God, for your holy angelic hosts that are in this room. Father God, I ask you to do something tonight. I want you to go forth and touch each one of your children in a special way, that they will know that they know that they know that they were in your presence and that you are their Father. And Father, I also ask you to move among the people who are watching over live streaming. Father God, meet each and every one of their needs right now according to your riches and glory. And Father, we so desire for all of your glory to fill the temples. And we know that's coming, God. But Father, we thank you for the glory you have already dropped. We thank you for the manifestation of yourself in every area of our lives. And Father, for that, we just thank you with all of our heart tonight. And we say, Father, we love you. We thank you that you have been long-suffering with us. We also thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this, Father. Amen. I don't think that we can ever thank God enough for everything that he's done for us and everything that he has already planned out for us for the rest of our life. I just think we come short sometimes at giving him the honor and the glory that's due him, and we come short in our praises to him also. And I just hope and pray that one day we can get it all together and that we can praise him from the very depths of our being all day long. Amen. Instead of just an hour a day or whatever we do. But I just believe that there's going to come a time when people come to our door, well, we'll just be dancing and praising. You know, I really do believe we're going to come into that agreement with God and we're just going to give him the honor and the glory. And everybody's going to say, what do you have? Why are you so happy today? Because I serve a God of happiness, right? I serve a God of peace and of joy. And I've entered into that today, and I'm going to stay there. So what happens? Here comes the enemy. And he's going to push and shove and do everything he can to get his foot in the door. But we're going to push and shove with everything we have to make sure he doesn't do that, right? Because God's given us all power and all authority. Tonight, you know, I'm going to teach on God's rest. He's been telling me that we are not entering into his rest the way he has called us to enter. So I said storms in life. Storms are everywhere. I don't care who you are, what you are, or what you think you are, or what you think you know. We all have storms in our lives. And storms come in different packages, right? You read the word. The disciples all had storms just about every day. And it was nothing new to Jesus. They all just walked it out, didn't they? They didn't let a storm catch them off guard. They just walked it out. And praise God as they were doing it. So there seems to be too many storms. And so we ask, why are there storms? Why do I have to go through this, Lord? That's a storm, you know? Right? What did I do wrong today that I have to go through this storm? All right, we know this scripture says the first the natural and then the spiritual. Now I'm going to talk about the wind, which the wind is the Holy Spirit. It's the wind of God, right? It's his spirit. The word for wind is also the word for spirit and also breath. Pneuma deals with the person work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we find out that the sweet heavenly dove has a stormy side. Amen. A time of turbulence when things get precarious and our boat rocks. And that's a time God will look down at you and say, you're not the only one in the boat. You were like the prophet who said he was the only prophet left. And God said, no, you're not. I have many more out there. And so you're not the only one going through a storm. And you're not the only one that thinks your boat might sink. Amen. So I was talking to Brother Allen earlier, and he said, well, everybody has a problem. And he's right. Everybody has a problem. And we don't make one greater than the other or less than the other. Everybody has a problem. And in God's eyes, they're all important, right? So he is in the boat with you. And that's the best person you could have in your boat. And he's not going to allow it to sink. And see, when we get into a storm, we don't put God in the boat. We try to ride out the storm all by ourselves. And we find ourselves in a mess, right? All right, the Lord sends his word to those who may be hurting right now. You have heard it before, but let it become reality at this moment. Surely you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you, in Philippians 4:13. You know, the devil's always going to throw a storm at you, and an unexpected storm at you, to try to make you think you can't make it. But you can. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Psalm 148:8 says, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. And who is his? It's God's bidding. So he has lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. All right, let's talk about storms in life. Are you going under with storms, circumstances, and accidents? You know, some of us, one thing after another, right? You think, now I can take a breath, but here's another storm right behind the other one. And isn't that how things usually happen? I know when I was growing up, I used to always hear them say, well, it happens in threes. So they wait for three things to happen. Then they go, whew, I'm glad those three things are over now, right? All right, Jonah got caught in a boat in a storm. He was out of the will of God. Paul was caught in a boat in a storm. He was in the will of God. Jesus slept in the boat in a storm. He is in the will of God. So Jonah got caught in a boat in a storm. He was out of the will of God. Paul was caught in a boat in a storm. He was in the will of God. Jesus slept in a boat in a storm. He is the will of God. Jonah overcame the storm. Paul endured the storm and used it. Jesus taught us to take dominion over the storms. Let's say that again. Jonah overcame the storm. He finally gave in to God and did what he was supposed to, right? Paul endured the storm and used it. In other words, God didn't take the storm away from him. Paul just walked on through it. Jesus taught us to take dominion over the storms. And we need to learn right now tonight to take dominion over the storms that are coming our way, or the boat's going to sink. We don't need to worry about the storm. We need to worry about which boat we are in. All right? Are we in the boat of compromise, or are we in the boat that says, God, through you we can do all things? When Paul was shipwrecked, what did he do? He said in Acts 27:25, so keep up your courage, men. Why do you say that? He says, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told me. God told him exactly what was going to happen. So when the storm came, he didn't get excited. He encouraged the other men and said, it's going to be okay, because God said how it's going to turn out, and that's how it's going to turn out. Paul looked around the boat and tossed the excess junk overboard. You need to look around your life and toss out anything that's not of God, all that excess junk that you're still carrying around. Anyone that will trust the blowing of the Spirit during a storm needs to understand the Spirit will successfully cross us over to our destination. Anyone that will trust the blowing of the Spirit during a storm needs to understand the Spirit will successfully cross us over to our destination. The Bible tells about a lot of different storms. In Nahum 1:3, it says, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. And 2 Kings 2:11, Elijah went into heaven in a whirlwind. And in Job 38:1, God spoke to Job in a whirlwind. All right. Are you listening? Peace centers within the storm where God dwells. Peace centers within the storm where God dwells. You have to put God in your storm, you know, to have him there and have his peace. God lives in storms. If the cyclone of life intensifies, we must go deeper into the tranquil center of God. God taught me this a long time ago. He said, daughter, when these storms come, no matter how furious they come, run to the eye of the storm. And when you run to the eye of the storm, he told me, you'll always enter into my peace, and the storm will not take you out. I remember that all my walk with God. When a storm comes, I say, God, I'm running to the eye. I'm running to that tranquil place, that peaceful place, where I know that you're where you're at, and you're going to take care of this me in this storm. All right? Ezekiel describes the appearance and the likeness of the glory of the Lord in Ezekiel 1:28. Like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud, you're the rainbow, on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one speaking. He saw it and he fell on his face and he heard God's voice. He speaks of wind, clouds, and fire. Prophets compared the day of the Lord to a storm. Meteorologists refer to the center of the storm as the eye. Jesus told us to be single-eyed in Matthew 6:22 and 23. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? You're going to have to be single-eyed. In other words, you're going to have to walk a straight path with God, knowing where you're headed and not deviating from that path or deviating from the things that God has told you he's going to do in your life. No matter what comes, God is always in control. I remember last night when, I don't know when I was prophesying, might have been this morning, when God said to somebody, he says, I'm in control of your life. And you know, if we can just believe that and trust God, he is in control of your life. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows your life from beginning to end because he made you. Right? One day I said, you know, this is years ago, I said, God, you must be awful upset with me today. He said, no, I'm not. I knew you was going to do this. He said, I'm prepared for it. He says, so just walk on. And how many of you sometimes think that, God, I'm so sorry that I did something I shouldn't have done, whatever it is. He already knew you were going to do that. So you repented. Now move on. Forget about it. Don't carry it with you when you move on. Forget about it. Just go forward. No matter what turbulence surrounds them, vanguard believers race to the center. In other words, those who truly, truly, truly trust God will race to the center. They'll race to the where God's eye is and where you'll have perfect peace. Where all roads converge and focus. Without focus, everything blurs and we lose direction. And when we become single-eyed, we move into clarity. In other words, when you understand God and you understand what your walk with God is all about, then you become single-eyed. You're not wondering this and wondering that, wondering something else. And then you move into clarity. You understand finally what God is trying to do with your life. Not many Christians understand that. How many of us have said in the last 2 years, God, what are you doing with me? I don't understand a thing you're doing right now, Father. He said, I know you don't. He said, because you're in a new way now. We're going in a different direction. And you've never been this way before. So what are the remnant churches supposed to be doing? Going in the new way. Learning the ups and downs, the ins and outs. Failing at times. And once we have clarity, then God will say, now you go over here and minister to this one, or you minister to that one. But we're going to have to go through something, you know, in order to be able to lead people down a path that nobody's ever gone before. So quit fussing. Are you trailblazers or are you not? Are you another John the Baptist or are you not? Nobody ever saw a John the Baptist before John the Baptist. They all went out in the wilderness to look at the crazy guy. Instead, got saved. You know, and wouldn't that be great if they went to you and just to see, well, I heard about that crazy woman in the real estate office. Go, and they'll come down or just pretend to buy a house just to see what you're all about. Right? That's the way it works. Remember when I was working in the college, my boss called me up to his office, wanted to know what was different about me, because people wanted to sit in the chair beside my desk, you know, because we counseled people and everything. I said, I don't know. I was scared because I thought I was going to get fired. I'd only been there a couple weeks. He said, you're different than anybody we've ever had on the campus, and everybody's wondering what's different about you. I couldn't tell him because I didn't know. You know, I was just trying to figure out life too with God. But they wanted to sit beside my desk to feel the peace that was there. So what I'm saying is, you never know what God is going to use you for. All right? You might work in an office and all of a sudden everybody's wanting to come and sit in your spare chair. And I said, why do you want to sit in my... We just like it here. That was their answer. There's peace here in this chair. God was in the room. Are you understanding this? You know, you where you work at work, people walk through your office door and all of a sudden they might go out in the spirit. What are you going to do? I mean, that's the truth. And you know, and they're going to come too and they're going to say, what happened? You can't say I knocked you out. Can't say, well, you must have fainted. And say, ask God, he'll tell you. Amen. All right, get into the center of the storm, to the place of calm where God is. Find that rest. The only place of rest is in the eye of the storm. Ezekiel depicts a whirlwind where the wheel within the wheel unfolds inwardly into itself while moving forward. This represents a cooperative church moving together as one. Well, I'm not going to read Ezekiel chapter 1 about the wheel within the wheel. You can read that at home. But Ezekiel 1:12 says, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. This is the wheels within the wheels. And this is saying, and each child of God walked the straight path that was before them. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn to the right, and they did not deviate to the left. They stayed on the path that God had before their feet. The church doesn't do that. The church goes so far as, oh, well, you know, this is sort of boring. I think I'll go over here and see what's going over on this side of the road. Then you get stuck over there, and you get into a whole lot of trouble, right? This living creature, the church, you know, what was reading about Ezekiel 1:12, this living creature, which is the church, went straight forward, and they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. So each part joined as one and moved straight forward. God's been trying to get unity into the body of Christ. And each part joined as one and moved forward, straight forward. The word straight comes from the root word to cross over, which can also be rendered crossing with straight and unchanging purpose. God has told us twice now that we have crossed over into different things. So at those two times, we must have been in unity. And I notice every time we get into unity, the devil comes and causes disunity. And the only reason why he can cause disunity is because somebody got disgruntled, got offended. Well, I'm just not going to look at them today. Yeah, come on. Then you're not going to go to heaven either. If you can't look at your brother and sister here on earth, God's sure not going to take you to heaven to cause a confusion up there. Are you listening? Somebody told me, I'm going to heaven just as well as you are. I said, well, you know, you're more sure of me going to heaven than I am. Because my word tells me to walk out my salvation every day. Right? Isn't that what it says? And I says, and if you don't change, I really don't want you in heaven with me. I want to leave that junk here on earth. And I want to go to heaven where I hear there's perfect peace. Right? So, anyhow. All right, Psalm 29:3 says, in stormy condition, God's voice thunders over turbulent water, shaking the wilderness and causing the deer to give birth. and that was in verses 6-9. His voice commissions you to give birth to the word, and in response, your heart leaps in expectation. I hope that's true. His voice commissions you to give birth to the word. In other words, tells you to do what he's telling you to do and quit sitting on it. And in response, your heart leaps in expectation of what God's going to do once you obey him. All right? How many of you sometimes you don't leap with nothing because you really don't want to do what you know God's telling you to do? You want me to do what? With who? Tomorrow? Doesn't even give you time to think about it and mull it all over and get out of your mess, does he? He just pushes you forward, right? Along the way, there's always another storm to cross over with an unchanging purpose. Storm after storm after storm. But we ride in God's boat, the vehicle of form provided for our safety. In other words, when you're in a storm, God always has a safety zone for you to be in. I'm telling you, I know that is true. God keeps you safe, and he really keeps you calm in the storm if you allow him to. You can work yourself up into a tizzy if you want, but that's not God's will for your life. You know, somebody's doing something wrong and you know it, you can work yourself up into a tizzy about it and get out of the will of God by being in that tizzy. Or you can say, God, you can see, you see what's going on, so Holy Spirit, you go and you deal with this person. And Father, you change them because I sure can. Right? Some of you ladies would be happy if you quit trying to change your husbands and vice versa. All right? Remember also, all the disciples climbed into that one boat together. Together. Togetherness. Are you understand that word? Togetherness. Peter didn't have his little boat and John another. They all climbed into the same boat. If when a storm comes into the church, if we would all climb into that storm together, get to the center of the eye and start praying, the enemy could not take us out. All right? We cross over in a corporate boat, and in the process, our individual agendas meld into one. As we get into that boat together and all have the same mind of Christ, we will then walk in love, and God will be able to speak to us and bring us through that storm. All right? God leads us upon his holy waters from where we are to where he wants us to go. From the known to the wonderfully unfamiliar places of the unknown. I thought I'd flower that up a little bit. All right, God, so I've never been here before. I've never experienced this. You're going to have to take my hand and help me because I'm a little bit dumb here. You know, I can't make my own path. I do things like that. I do because I don't know what God wants me to do when he takes me, you know, like the church. Okay, so we'll say, boy, the atmosphere is happy or whatever. And so I go home and I pray, say, God, what's going on here? You're going to have to show me so I know how to react to these different things. I know prayer, but I also like to know what's going on. And if it's a person causing the problem, I'd like to know who the person is so we can pray for them and cover them in the blood of Jesus. I'm a little bit nosy with God. I want to know all things. Don't you want to know all things? Just don't give me a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I want to know the beginning, the end, and everything in the middle. You know, like God told the disciples, the people weren't able to eat the words that he gave them, but they could. All right, keep in mind that the worst storms always come just before the biggest opposition. Isn't that true? I'm so glad we are a church that has storms. I am. Because that means God's with us, and that means we're great, and that means the devil's so upset with us he can't see straight. I really am glad that we have our storms. And God always brings us through them. And we're always on top. We're not on the bottom. We're always on the top, right? So be happy for the storm. Remind me that the next time I fuss, okay? Be happy for the storm. Because that means that we are going to conquer the enemy, or we are conquering the enemy. There's always something bigger waiting on the other side, storm-wise. Even the disciples were ill prepared for what they found in the morning light. The exhausted travelers were finally able to see, and it was a steep cliff. You can almost hear their complaints. Well, it is too high, too cold, too far. And then I said, doesn't that sound familiar? You know, my thing with God is, God, how long did Job really have to go through his experience? I just said that to him the other day, God, can you please just give me some light on how many months he went through his experience? And God said, what's that matter to you? He told me that. I was talking to my daughter, and I said that to God. And he said, what's the matter to you? How long he went through his storm? You just go through yours and keep on going. So you see, I was sticking my nose into Job's business, and I didn't have to do that because that wasn't my storm, right? Come on. I want you to stop and think about this. All right, so we hear the complaints of, well, it's too high, too cold, too far. Doesn't that sound familiar? Are you getting the picture? It is not tranquil over here either. All right? So it's bad there, but it's bad here too. Okay, if I go out of Delaware and I go into Maryland, I'm going to meet the same storms. And God says, tell me right now, storms of life come and go. But they do go, he's saying. They don't always stay. And how many of you can say amen to that? Your situations that you go through, which are storms, don't always stay with you. They eventually do go. Sometimes I wonder how long eventually is too, don't you? Yes, the Gadarene, when we're going to talk about the Gadarene, waits the worst growling, packing, demonically depressed person that has ever been described. You know, the devil, in other words, the devil is waiting for you on the other side, all right? Demons are all around, and they're always waiting for you to try to take you out. The entire city feared this lunatic with a legion of demons, and that's in Matthew 8:28-34. Suddenly, that violent storm brought Jesus to intersect and heal that hopelessly insane man, because he was hopelessly insane. No way was he getting any better, because everybody was afraid of him. All right, and more difficult still, the once terrified townspeople furiously demanded that Jesus leave town. It didn't make any sense, but they didn't like the results of what happened when Jesus appeared. You know what? There's Christians who don't like the results of what happens when Jesus comes on the scene, because they want it done one way. And Jesus said, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm not going to do it anyway, right? And sometimes when we think God's going to do something one way, he does this for me anyhow. When I think he's going to do it one way, he does it a total opposite way. And I think, God, why did you do it this way? You know, I love my father. I love to talk to him. Him and I have good conversations. I sort of like, I'm nosy. Are you nosy when you talk to God? We want to know all things, right? He told me one time, daughter, you think too small when you think big. So I started thinking big, and I started acting big and talking big. All right, God, I need to know this. I need to know that. I don't want to be out there in front of some devil and not know what I'm encountering, right? Okay, so then these people get upset with Jesus. Why? Because this region raised pigs. Their livelihood just ran over the cliff. You know, in some of our storms, that happens too, doesn't it? Come on, this is what this story, this teaching's all about. The destruction of their whole economic base caused them to forget the miracle. This was serious. That happens too. We forget the miracle God just, because it didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen, we forget the miracle just happened, and we start fussing. The result of that great miracle was that once again the disciples were hated, and we should expect the same dislike. God's game plan often opposes what others want. Are you ready to withstand storms of ostracism and rejection, especially from other Christians? Are you willing to be of no reputation? Do you know how, you know, they love to come against you? Other pastors love to come against you. If they don't understand what God's doing with you and God won't tell them, then they come to ostracize you. Tell you, you need to get it together. Close your doors. You're demonic. You have a cult going on there, and on and on and on it'll go, right? All right, so then I said, are you willing to be of no reputation? The boat is our visible means of support. The boat could be anything. All right? The boat is a vehicle of transition. My boat may be rocked, but it is God's bedchamber. Resurrection is asleep in our ship, waiting for us to know the security of being in Him. Resurrection power comes to bring order to chaos when we get to the other side. And how many times has God spoken to this church and said, I've given you resurrection power? He's trying to bring peace into your life, because He said we're crossing over, and He didn't want us to take all that chaos with us. He wanted us to cross over in perfect peace. Some took chaos with them, and that's why they're still in trouble. God kept telling us, die to yourself. Then finally one day He said, okay, we're going to cross over. So whatever you wanted to hold on to, you still had. And it might take you a little bit of time to get rid of that. It'd been best if you left it over there with a Gadarene or whatever he's called, you know, let it run over a cliff. Throw it into the sea. How many of you throw it into the sea of forgetfulness? So you're so tired of seeing it and having it act out, you finally say to yourself, I'm throwing this thing into the sea of forgetfulness. Father, please let it be gone. Right? Okay, Gadarene means the reward is at the end. God moves at dusk. If you look at Matthew 8, 28 through 34, you'll find that out. When we can't see, God asks us to move to a new place. God's day begins at night. You know what I think that is? Is because you ever notice that drug addicts and alcoholics all start their things at night? They'll sleep all day and then they come out at night. At my house, I think, well, it's time for the traffic to start and my kids in and out, up, down, around about, you know. You know, and they do their drugs at night and they sleep all day. And so God has to be there protecting us, right, at night. And so I know He has His angelic forces out there to protect us. I know that. I don't know about you, but don't you know that you are secure in God's arms? Don't you know that God knows exactly what's going to happen to you, and He's going to make sure that you're taken care of? We die to the dependency for natural light. We learn not to move by the light of the outer court. We go by the light of the Lamb in the holiest place. God told us, don't linger in the outer court. That's why He said this. He says, come into the inner court and dine with me there. A lot of people don't go into the inner court because in the inner court, it's holy. And if you're going to go into the inner court, then you have to give up your junk. And a lot of people don't want to give up their junk. They want to hold on to that thing that's killing them. Storms lie between us and our destination. Get that in your spirit. Storms lie between us and our destination. God lives in the storm and He rules there. And Nahum 1:3 said, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. I about want to shout about that. I like to get up and run around the room. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. My God, Father, they're dead. Would you like a firecracker or a fire under your seat to make you get excited? You know, the problem is we don't get excited enough. Well, I'm a quiet person. I used to be quiet too, really quiet. But you know, when I got born again, I got on fire for God and I quit being quiet, because I got excited with what God's word told me I could do. I got excited when I found out what a great Father I served and how He took care of me. And as I look back over my life, I realized, God, if it wouldn't be for You, I wouldn't even be here today. Because I forget how many times I died and was resurrected. No, resuscitated, whatever that word is. Yeah. Brought back to life anyhow. I was resurrected, right? Agree with me, Alan. See, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I mean, it wouldn't be for God, I wouldn't even be here. to go through all these storms. Isn't it exciting?
Yeah!
Wow. See? You woke up one, so you did. He was sound asleep over there, and you woke him up. Gee, I'm glad you did that, though, because I was getting ready to throw something at him. All right, let's get back here. Now I just got myself in trouble. Okay, Psalm 107, verse 25 says, "For God commands and raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea." In Psalm 50, verse 3, "Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be a very tempestuous all around him." If you're going to be a fire carrier, God was one. Psalm 50, verse 3, "He comes with a noise of thunder, surrounded by devastating fire. A great storm rages round about him." Okay, that was two different versions. The first one was New King James, and this one it was the TLB. All right, then Psalms 18:10 says, "He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind." God is clothed in the garment of storms. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. He lives in the storm. So, and God's always told me, daughter, every time a storm comes your way, I am in that storm. So right there, that he lives in that storm that you have. He's there with you, and he's keeping you safe, and he's covering you. And he told me, don't be afraid in this storm, because I'm in the storm. Do you understand that? Maybe what, well, I do this all the time. God, what are you trying to teach me in this storm? I would like to graduate today, if you don't mind, please, right? I don't want this storm to go on for months and months and years. Psalm 8, because every time a storm comes, you know, God is trying to change us. He's trying to teach us something. And I know God said that he's building character in us every time a storm, we go through a storm. All right, Psalm 18:11. "God made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them." I mean, that's a pretty good God, isn't it? Can do all those things. I don't know about you, but I couldn't even throw a lightning, let alone do all that stuff with it, right? Exodus 9:23, "When Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail." See, it wasn't Moses that did this. It was God. "The Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt." See that? Everybody said, look what I just did. You didn't do nothing. God did it. 1 Samuel 12:17, "Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." So God is going to chastise them for that. Psalm 18:13, "The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded." In Mark 6:48, "Then he saw them straining at rowing," you know, Jesus did, "for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. Toiling, torture, or torment of their own human effort, enslaved in galleys of the sweat of Adam." In other words, the sin of Adam caused these men to be toiling in that boat. The sweat of Adam could be causing you to go through the storm that you're going through. Not Adam isn't making you go through it, because you sinned like Adam did. All right? "The disciples saw Jesus walk on water, but they could only see with their natural brain limited." And that's in Matthew 14, 23 through 33. "Even though they had traveled," this is the disciples, "even though they had traveled with Jesus for quite a while now, they still didn't recognize him." That always amazed me when I read that. How they did not recognize Jesus. Well, it said when he was beat, he was unrecognizable, wasn't it? And so I don't know what he looked like. He might, but even if he turned back to being unbeaten, you know, his face, why did that, even his presence being around him, why did they not recognize Jesus? even though they had traveled with Jesus for quite a while. Well, what are you getting so excited about? You don't even know Jesus, and you've been walking with him too for 20 years or so, right? All right, even though they had traveled with Jesus for quite a while now, they still didn't recognize him. They literally screamed out in fear right in Jesus' face. Many of us are like them. Whenever the wind comes, we make rash judgments and form opinions that are incorrect. And that's what they did when they were in that boat. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. They thought he was a ghost of all things. Come on. We don't recognize Jesus when he comes into our storm sometimes. We don't even know he's there. We think we're still fighting the storm all by ourselves. Now, if the shoe fits, put it on, if it doesn't, don't worry about it. All right? I sat in church before I became a pastor many times, listening to the pastor preach a hard word to the people that were needed to hear that word, and I just thought it was a great word. Didn't bother me any, because I wasn't doing what he was preaching. So if you're all upset, there's something in that preaching that's bothering you, that's wrong in your life, and you need to get it right. And if you don't like my preaching, then don't come and listen to it. You can turn off your tube or whatever. Peter asked to come out. You know, asked Jesus if he could come out of the boat, and he actually walked on the water. That is until he saw the wind. Then Peter began to sink, and Jesus said to Peter, "You have little faith." Seeing the wind was doubt. And when I finally got a hold of that scripture and realized that, because I was standing right there one time preaching, that's when I walked all around the room, and God said to me, "If you don't get rid of your doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick." There were certain things I used to think God could do all things, but then the church convinced me he couldn't. That was my fault, not the church's. And God said, "You have to get out of doubt and unbelief, and you have to start believing that I could do all things." All right, now we are called to a life of conflict. Hello. People don't want to hear that. We are called to a life of conflict. We will have to overcome many stormy times when the east wind dashes over our lives. Are we ready? Because God keeps telling me, watch the east. Watch what's happening in the east. So I talked about the east wind blowing over us, because something coming out of the east that's blowing over us. And if we're in storms, God is in that storm. All right? The world hated Jesus. Jesus was rejected, yet we want respect. The world hated Jesus. We want the world to love us. Jesus was rejected, yet we want respect. Jesus was radical, and yet we want to be reasonable. I quit being reasonable quite a few years ago. I really did. It doesn't work. Jesus didn't care about the praise of man, yet we thrive on it. You see what's going on here, church? John the Baptist was beheaded. Why? All right, question to you. What if Herod were your king? Would you change or adjust your message for him just to accommodate his lifestyle and an adulterous marriage just because it was culturally acceptable at the time? You know, John the Baptist lost his head because he told everybody the king was in adultery. Now, how would you adjust your message? You know, you have this wonderful message you prepared, and in walks a well-known minister, sits in the front row. You think, oh, my, what am I going to do now? You know what you do? You just keep on, you give the message, because evidently they had to hear it or they wouldn't be there. They came to ridicule me and shut the church down, but they left weeping and saying, "She's a woman of God." I didn't change my message. It's the same message God gave me. And he knew exactly he was going to be here. Are you listening? Never change your message. Really, truly, I'm going to tell you, if God really wants to change the message, you won't ever, you look at your papers, he'll just prophesy what he wants people to hear. He'll just take over and say, "You let go of your paper because I have something I want to say." I was sitting down and I said, "God, tonight would be a good night. If you just want to speak, you can." But he wants his teaching to go forth. Are you understanding this? I don't care what you think about me. I really don't. You need to not, the young lady back there in the brown blouse, don't worry about what people say about you. Just do what God's telling you to do. Be yourself. You're a woman of God. Stay a woman of God. And don't let other people change your mind about what God is calling you to do. I'm God's telling you that because God's saying you're getting ready to go through some storms in life. But you have to remember He's in those storms. And the storms will turn out for your good. All right? All right, now I lost my place. All right, Stephen was stoned in Acts 7, 54 through 59. His dying prayer is what touched the heart of the Christian killer named Saul. Later, Paul was persecuted. Both of them preached a confrontational gospel. Opposition arose. Threats came. They sealed their convictions with death. Both Paul and Stephen, they both died for what they preached. They were killed because they opposed the storm of others and stood for what was right. We're getting ready to go through some things, and God is trying to get this church strong in Him so that the storms do not take us out. So when the storm comes, don't stand there with your mouth gapped open and say, "Where'd this come from?" Because God's warning you that you're going to go through the storms before they ever happen. God knows the why of storms, especially when we don't. How many of you said, all right, I say, "God, what did I do wrong?" I don't do that anymore, but before I got my head together, what did I do wrong, God? Why am I going through this? Why am I being persecuted like this? Then I realized, okay, I have to go through this so I can grow. Well, when He took me off, you know, I was evangelizing for quite a few years, and He brought me in off the evangelistic field. I said, "Why did you do that, Lord?" He said, "Because you're too green, and they were getting ready to destroy you. And I don't want you to be destroyed. So I brought you in so I could teach you how to be stronger than what you are right now." And He started to teach me that I have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint, and you guys don't scare me. All right? Come on, so ask God why He's doing with you, what He's doing. God knows the why of storms, especially when we don't. A new power is in operation when you're in a storm. The Spirit of life in Christ is coming upon you in a stronger way. A strong wind magnificently clears the air and frees us from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Now, I wanted to change the word magnificently, but God wanted it in there. And so He said a strong wind magnificently clears the air and frees us from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. When God brings a storm, the winds blow. And you need to say, "Keep blowing, God, keep blowing harder, and blow all this junk out of my life." Peace reigns as king when you find rest in the center of the storm. The object of this whole message is getting into the peace of God in a storm. If you do that, the storm will not take you out. Sometimes we have to fuss a little bit, you know, and until we get ourselves together. This morning I had something happen, and it took me about, knocked me off my feet. I had to stop and regroup and realize God was in this storm also. And somebody said, Alan said to me, "Well, you look better tonight than you did this morning. This morning I could tell you was troubled." And you know why that was? It's because you saints started praying for me, and I regrouped, and I had to put the devil where he belonged, and then I can go forward. So storms come and storms go. It's up to you how you react to the storm. I didn't react too good to it this morning, but I finally got myself together, and I'm good to go. Amen? God knows what to do. Oh, okay, we're around here. Speak to your heart, peace be still, and see. And since God had me study this and had me put this together, I knew I had to get into peace because I knew my peace had just been stolen. All right? So I said, all right, I'm standing in peace. I don't care what you do, devil. I'm standing in peace. And I know God is in this with me. He never lies to me. So you have to know that God never, ever lies to you. He always tells you the truth. God knows what to do. He knows where you are. He is right beside you, and He will also take you through this next storm. The devil is so stupid. He shows Himself every time. You're a child of God. You have the power of God running through your veins. You have more power and authority than the devil has over your own life. You need to stand up and say, devil, you're finished in my life. And I mean it. He knows whether or not you mean it. And you have to say, devil, you are through in my life. I'm done with you. You go harass somebody else that doesn't know me. I mean, know God like I know him. And then stand your ground. He's not going to walk away. Why would you think he'd walk away? He's going to stand in front of your face. Oh, really now, Aaron? Let's just see if you really mean what you just said. And Aaron just melts like butter on the floor. And the devil said, see, I knew you wasn't strong yet. I'm just using Aaron because he came in late, so I'm going to fuss with him. All right? This is how it works, though. It's really how it works. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And with the things that are coming down the road, saints, you must become strong towers, because you know things that other people don't know. And God's going to send you to these weak ones. And the devil's going to be there too, because that's what's making them weak. And you're going to have to be so strong that every devil that's in that room is going to flee at the sound of your voice. Just the sound of your footsteps. Are you that full of God? Is the devil going to run from you when you walk into a room? Or is he just going to sit there and say, well, just go ahead and try to get rid of me? Remember the story I tell when I went to my aunt's funeral and I walked in? You know, the funerals are always dark. Funeral rooms are. And I walked into the room and everybody quit talking. They said, who just came in the door? Who came into the room? And even my father was on the other end of the room, and they were all straining their eyes to see who it was. And I got real close to my daddy, and he's, oh, it's just Jimmy. You know, they call me Jimmy. It's just Jimmy. It's my daughter. And they said, that's Jimmy. She's the one that walked into the room. I didn't walk into the room. Who walked into the room? Jesus. And it changed the whole atmosphere of the room. But because I was walking with God the way I should, he could do that when I entered a room. Can he do that with you? Can he, when you walk through a room, into a room, do you change the atmosphere? And when you ask yourself that, because that's what you're going to have to do if you're going to be used by God in these next years ahead. I didn't have any sin in my body, in my mind. I just was never a sinner. I didn't have any ulterior motives. When I went to church because God was there, not because I wanted to make out with somebody who was sitting someplace else. I see that all the time in the houses of God, and it makes me sick. I'm vexed by that, like I taught this morning. We're not in the house of God to be molested with your eyes. We're in the house of God to be free, to be at peace, for safety. And, you know, if you're one of those people that does that, then you're not a child of God. You're letting the enemy work through you. I don't care how much you prophesy. I don't care how much you lay your hands on the sick and they recover. If you're doing things like that, that is sin. I don't know why I'm going down that road, but I'm going to get off it because I think I'm about ready to get into trouble. How many of you want God to touch you tonight, that when the next storm hits you, it won't take you off your feet? It'll take you right into the very center of his eye. This is what God wants to do to you tonight. Because God is saying right now, the storms in life are going to come at you fast and furious. Where are you going to be standing? Are you going to be standing in the center of his will? Or are you going to be standing on the outskirts with the devil beating you up? Tonight, God said he wants to give you courage to face each and every storm that you're going to go through. And he wants to give you power and authority to stay in peace, no matter where the storm's coming from or how hard it is. The altar's open.